Well, good morning. Glad that you are here. Thank you for joining us, whether you're joining us here in person or online. I do want to say if you are a guest or a guest for the first time in a long time, a couple ways that we would love to connect with you. First option is if you're here in person, there's a card in the pew back in front of you that's a connect card and just some real simple information we'd love to get from you that we might be able to connect and get to know a little bit more about you. And at the end of the service, there'll be an opportunity for you to deposit that card and leave that with us. And we'd love to just reach out and get to know a little bit more about you and see how we might be able to serve you. The other way, or another way that you may be able to connect with us online or in person, you can go to our website. That is sbcr.org. And there's a button that says I'm new, and you can click with I'm new, and that way you can fill out that short form that is there. And I get those emails of our guests who may be here in person or online, and we'd love to get to know a little bit more about you that way. And so please do that. We want to know who's worshiping with us today, and we thank God that you decided to join us today. A couple of housekeeping items, if you will, that I need to address this morning before we begin our service. First of all, and I'll try to remind you at the end as well, tonight is our business meeting night. Now, what we are planning to do is we are planning to begin the business meeting at 5 p.m. Beginning the business meeting at 5 p.m. Because we don't have a whole lot on the agenda, but we have an item or two that we need to take care of. And so if you'll make sure to be here, we're going to get started as soon as we can at 5 o'clock. And then with the time that we have remaining, anybody that's willing and able, we hope to be able to go out in our community and pray over our community. We started that last week. We call it Pray and Go. And so even if you're not able to go out with us, I hope you'll be here for the business meeting. And then those of you that are able, if you'll stick around, we'll conclude our time at 6. But we want to start with the business meeting at 5. Those are for our church members, and really need you to come for that so we can take care of a few things. And then we will, once we conclude our business meeting, we'll have Pray and Go. So, all right, I'm excited this morning because I'm beginning a series that I'm calling King's Witness. And I'll give you a little bit more information about that, but I'm really excited about starting that this morning. Also, you'll take notice in our foyer, we have a table set up with OCC boxes, and it is that time of year of collecting. You can do a few different things. You can take a sheet and just go shop and bring that collection of supplies or the little booklet, if you will. It'll tell you a little bit more about what you need to know to get, to purchase, to put in a box, all that kind of thing. You can collect that and just bring the stuff back, and then we'll make sure it gets put in a box. You can take a box yourself and do that. That's one of the things we love to do. We love to take boxes and let our kids go after supplies that match their age group and all that kind of thing. They have a lot of fun with that. So anyway, there's a few different things you can do. There's also some wow items that we need. Those of you familiar with OCC, you're kind of a little bit familiar with that, but we need a few of those to complete a few boxes, and so that's happening now as well. I think the last thing I want to mention to you this morning is a week from tonight, we are having our trunk or treat. Unfortunately, with all the COVID restrictions, all those sorts of things, we can't have our traditional fall fest. And I know in many ways we'd love to be able to do that. So what we've done, instead of not getting a chance to minister to our community, we've transitioned and we are going to be outside. Many of you have volunteered to provide a trunk. Many of you have done a lot of things to help with that, and we're thankful for that. There's still plenty of opportunities. I believe we're going to have a really good response. We're going to practice social distancing, be safe, all that kind of thing. But I believe we're going to have a great response. So we need all the help that we can get, even folks to help us with parking. And there's a job for anybody and everybody. So if you haven't got enlisted or volunteered in some position, you may avoid me or Jonathan. We may come looking for you real soon, okay? But no, if you'll volunteer, let us know that you can help or be a part. We would love that. And then last thing I'll say about Fall Fest is thank you so much for the way you have brought and donated candy. We have a whole lot of candy, but hear me clearly, we need a whole lot more. But thank you for your generosity, and I know many of you have given and you've sacrificed to give that. We're grateful for that. And some of you may say, Pastor, I can do more. If you can, that'll be a real blessing, and I'm excited about next Sunday night. That'll begin at 5 o'clock. And for all that are involved with that, we're going to try to have a quick meeting right after services next Sunday morning. And we may do that outside. We'll check on the weather. I'll let you know. But plan to hang around for just a few minutes. I promise I won't try to make you too late to the buffet, all right? Or I guess not buffet so much now, is it? You got to order. But you know what I mean. All right, let me pray and we're going to begin. Lord, you are gracious and kind and merciful. We thank you for your love and affection. God, thank you for the opportunity, the privilege to come here to worship you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would be honored in all that we say and do. God, you be glorified. I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would be here. God, where the Spirit is, there's freedom. And so, God, this morning, we desire, we hunger for freedom to worship you, Lord Jesus. Hide us behind your cross. Fill us with your Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing to the King?
The King is coming to reign. Glory to Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. Life and salvation His empire shall bring. Joy to the nations when Jesus is King.
Thank you.
Well, amen. If you have your Bible, turn to John 3:16. John 3:16. I enjoyed singing that. Tell me the story of Jesus, getting to sing and declare the gospel, be reminded of the gospel this morning. And for the next several weeks, that's our focus. I don't know about you. I don't know about your heart, your desire, those things, but one of the things that I've found true in my life, and as I've talked to other believers, I believe it to be true in their life as well, that oftentimes once the Lord Jesus saves us and we realize our own sinfulness, our own need for Christ, we understand what Jesus has done for us. We understand that He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He did it, that He ascended to the right hand of Father, and one day He's coming again, and He has done it in such a way that He is offering salvation freely to all who believe. And a person comes to know that personally and intimately, and you see the change that God does in and through your life, and we get to a point where we want other people to experience that. Just this week in the Arkansas Baptist News, it's just a website, they stopped the print, but on their website they had an article about one of our local churches in the association, First Baptist Darnell. And First Baptist Darnell has partnered with another church just in the MENA area. And instead of their traditional vacation Bible school, this church out of MENA, they have become really specialized, really good at going into areas and putting on a sports camp, usually in place of a vacation Bible school, to provide opportunity to minister to kids, to connect with them and be able to share the gospel. And so that's what they've done. And they partnered with First Baptist Darnell. They've done it in a few years past, but this year on the One Day Serve Local, they connected together. They had the sports camp, and people are sharing their testimony. And a little boy ends up praying to receive Christ. And that's awesome. That's incredible. But let me tell you what, the story doesn't stop there. The little boy got so excited, he left the sports camp. Already went and found one of his buddies and came back and said, "This is my friend. He needs to know Jesus too." Some of the adults visited with him, talked with him. His friend gave his heart to Jesus. Hey, that's it, y'all. That's it. Like, we get a double dose of Jesus, we can't get over it, man. We go find our friend, say, "Listen, let me tell you what just happened. Let me take you to somebody who can tell you and share with them." And early on, man, that's why I get excited about being around brand new believers. It's messy because they don't know all the rules, right? They don't know all the, "You're supposed to do this, you're supposed to stand here, sit here, do this." They don't have all the religion yet. They just got a relationship. And that makes everybody else in the room really uncomfortable, and I kind of like that. But man, they get excited and they go get their friends and they bring them and say, "Man, they just get eat up with it." And they don't know what to do with it. They don't know necessarily how to explain it to somebody else, but they just get excited about that. And so what I believe the Lord has led me to do for the next several weeks is, you may say, "Hey, Chris, I'm excited about knowing Christ. I'm excited about knowing that I have eternity secured in heaven. I have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I want other people to know, but I just don't know how to tell them. I don't know how to share that with them. Don't know where to begin. Don't know where to end. I can get the things out there, but it's just difficult for me." Over the next several weeks, I'm going to preach a series of sermons called King's Witness. That's the tool, if you will, okay? Now, you all know me. I'm not this creative. I didn't come up with this, okay? It's somebody else's tool, but I'm just going to go through and walk through the next several weeks and each one try to give you a tool in how you can share the gospel, how you can share your faith with someone else. And so what I want to do is I want to show you this King's Witness and get a quick overview. Then we're going to jump into the scripture and I'm going to preach this morning, okay? I think we may have a picture that has the King's Witness symbols right here behind me, okay? So if you'll look at this, these are the five symbols. So the next 5 weeks is what we'll be covering. By the way, let me hit pause. I have one other announcement I need to mention to you. 2 weeks from today, the first Sunday in November, COVID tried to undo Easter for 2020, okay? And so we didn't get to come together and have the big, all that kind of thing like we normally do. And so what we're going to do, and I know this will maybe make people uncomfortable, I already told you I enjoy that. First Sunday of November, we're having Easter in November, okay? We're going to celebrate and recognize Easter, the greatest victory of all time. I know some Razorback fans feel like that happened yesterday in Northwest Arkansas, but that is not the greatest victory of all time, okay? I mean, it was good, but it doesn't compare, all right? But in November, we're going to have Easter in November called the Return. And so I want you to see this morning. This is the symbols, if you will, okay? I also have a silicone band on this morning. After the service, you'll get a chance to get one of these fancy things as well, okay? We have different colors. Ladies, we have them in purple, all right? We don't have a lot, so please no fighting over them, but it has the symbols on there. So this morning, the down arrow, he came. I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about that. The next one is the cross. So he died. Then the tomb there in the middle, he rose. The arrow going up, he ascended. The arrow coming down, he is coming again. He came, he died, he arose, he ascended, and he's coming again. So this gives you a method, a tool, a way to share the gospel, okay? And then we have got some silicone bracelets that you can wear this. I've been wearing one. We had the orange ones. Some of you got an orange one for One Day Serve Local. But these, so that it's just a tool in case you're trying to engage your family or your friends to share the gospel. And what we're going to do the next 5 weeks, I'm going to unpack each one of these and talk to you about what the gospel is and help us to be better equipped to share our faith with our friends and family. Okay, all right, if you haven't found John 3:16 by now, it's okay, it'll be on the screen. John 3:16, I mean, we didn't tell you where we were, John 3:16. is where we're going to be. I know it's a very familiar verse. But again, and I know last week I did this as well, I typically sit down in a text and walk through a text and preach that. I'm not doing that this morning. I'm preaching more topical about Jesus came, okay? So John 3:16, if you find your place in the Bible, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. God, You are gracious and kind and merciful. We thank You for today. We thank You that You gave Your Son Jesus, and thank You that Jesus came. And so, God, this morning we pray You'd help us to wrap our mind around Jesus, You coming and declaring and a burden to share the gospel. Lord, we love You and we praise You. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So last week we talked about being stirred up, that we need to be stirred up over some things. We need to be stirred up for God's glory, and then we need to be stirred up over lostness. So my heart's prayer is that we got stirred up over God's glory, that we have see a wicked land, a wicked nation, a wicked world that is turned from the God that created them and is turned from the very purpose and design in which they were created. And then you were stirred up over lostness, that you want to tell your friends, your families, those at the gas station and at Walmart about what Jesus has done in your life and what He can do in theirs. And so the main idea of the text this morning, of this message, He came, the main idea is Jesus came fully God and fully man to provide salvation to all who believe. We're going to talk a little bit more about that, but let me say really up front, if you're waiting on some great illustration or great explanation how Jesus was fully God yet fully man all at the same time, I'm sorry to disappoint you again. I don't have that great illustration. I don't have that great explanation. All I know, that is clearly what the Bible teaches. And all those fancy illustrations of the different forms of water and all sorts of things, the chicken and the egg and all that, they all fall short. But we know the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus was fully God yet fully man, and He did it to provide salvation to anyone and everyone who will believe on Him. Jesus did not die for just a select group of people. He died for the world. And so then the question of the text this morning is, do you believe Jesus came to freely offer salvation to you? Do you believe Jesus came to offer salvation freely to you? Now, if I had a second question to put in here, I would ask, what about for others? Because here's the reality, the first step begins with, did Jesus do all of this? He came, He died, He rose, He ascended, He's coming again. He did it to offer salvation for you. You first have to believe that. It is nonsense. It doesn't make any sense to be worried about other people believing that if you don't believe it yourself. But once you believe it yourself, if you don't believe that it's true for other people, then why worry about sharing the gospel? Why worry about telling others? Why worry about our friends and our family? And you may have a different position or a different view about who Jesus died for than Jesus died for everyone. I don't believe that's what Scripture teaches, but even if you believe that, here's the reality. You and I have no idea for whom He died if He didn't die for everyone. I'm not smart enough to figure out and go, well, He died for you and you, but not you and you and you and not you. I can't figure that out. That doesn't make any sense to me, but even if you hold that, you can't figure it out. So you and I have a responsibility to go to just share the gospel and trust God to do what only He can. And so, you believe that Jesus came to offer salvation freely to you and to others. And so there are four reasons I want to talk to you this morning about why Jesus came. Now, this is not exhaustive. There's certainly a lot of other things, but as we highlight our main text this morning, John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave. He gave the very best that He had. He didn't give us leftovers. He didn't give us something else. But God gave His Son, Jesus. The righteous, the holy God gave Himself in the form of His Son, Jesus. And this morning as we talk about it, we talk about why, but it begins with God so loved the world. Jesus came. He came this morning because He loved the world. Now here's what I need you to understand, that God does not sit high and lofty looking down on earth and He just collectively loves the group. But the Bible teaches us that God loved the world. How did He love the world? He loved the world by loving each one of us. So it's not some big collective group that He's looking at saying, I love you, but rather He's seeing you this morning. He saw you in eternity past and sees you from eternity future and looks at you and goes, I love you. And hear me this morning, and I know this is going to be really uncomfortable. He didn't say he loves the birds and the trees and the dogs and the cats and all that kind of thing. That the Scripture doesn't teach us that, but rather He loves you because you and I were created in His image. We're going to see that in a moment. It doesn't mean that other things can't be a blessing, encouragement. We like those things, that's fine, whatever. But I need you to know this morning that Jesus didn't send His Son for anything else other than for you. And so we're going to walk through these reasons why He came. Number one, He came because the world is broken. He came because the world is broken. And there's two parts of this, and they're going to seem contradictory for a moment, but I hope that it makes sense as we walk through this. And we're going to have some Bible surfing, if you will, again, like we did last week. A, God's design was not broken. The original design God had was not a broken world. If you have your Bible, flip to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verse 26. So we're going to be talking about this broken world, but I need you to hear and understand this morning that in the original plans, the original plan of God, as He presented, as He laid it out, as He created it, it was not a broken world. In Genesis 1, we have the days of creation. And you remember, and he goes through, in the beginning was the Word, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then He goes through and He creates light and darkness, and evening and the morning were the first day, and then He just begins throughout creation. He just, day after day after day, creates all that you and I know and see in creation. And then we get to the end of chapter 1 and we get a picture of the creation of man, creation of Adam specifically. So Genesis 1, 26, then God said, and I want you to notice this, let us make man in our image. Notice the plurality. It's not plural gods, it is a plural God in the sense there's a Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Ghost. They are three, yet they are one. Again, I wish I had some great illustration to make that make sense to you, but that's just what the Bible teaches. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God entrusts dominion to us. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. So you and I, the value of your life and the value of your existence is tied to the image of God. And since God never changes, He was the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, our value never ceases. It never changes because we're created in the image of God. That's why it doesn't matter the pigment of our skin. It doesn't matter the economic, socioeconomic status we're at, but rather we are created in the image of God. So that's what He does. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, and to it you shall be for food. It shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. And then I need you to see this last verse. Then God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. If you mark or underline your Bible, mark that. And indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now on the seventh day, God rested. So 6 days of creation, God creates everything. It didn't take millions and billions of years like some scientists will try to teach you, some professors will try to teach you at particular universities. It didn't take millions and billions of years. There wasn't some big thing other than the voice of God speaking and it came into existence. God spoke it all into existence and he created it in 6 24-hour literal days. And so God creates this, and when he creates this, it was good that animals, if you will, got along. I believe early on science has proved, in creation science, as you look at this, they were all herbivores. They weren't eating each other because sin had not entered. They were able to exist, and that's why we see at the end of creation, we see the animals being able to lay together because God is restoring it to its created order. That some of the things that you and I experience, some of the natural catastrophes that happen in our world, it was a perfect environment. Many people describe it as a greenhouse effect because there was a layer of water that was underneath the crust of the earth. There was a uniform water table from underneath that was a worldwide sprinkler system for just the right moisture for all the right plants. There was a bubble that circled, a water bubble that circled the earth that created this perfect environment, this perfect temperature constant. It was the greenhouse effect. And it was a perfect created order. Because that was God's original design. That man would live there. The produce of the ground would be perfect. It would be perfect substance for them. They would reproduce and have children in this incredible cycle of God's design. You can look outside today. You can turn on news and you can see that that is not true anymore. Some 6,000 years later, our world is very different. It is very broken. And it's for this reason that he came. I need you to see this, is that A, God's design was not broken, but B, God's design was broken when Adam sinned. So the original design was not broken, but it became broken. It became broken at Adam's sin. If you flip over just one more chapter in Genesis chapter 2, if you were to read that, he kind of walks back through the particulars of creating Adam and Eve and all that takes place, but I need you to see this in Genesis 2. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. So this was the job of him before the broken order. And then we see in Genesis 3 this brokenness that takes place because God tells him, hey, you can eat of anything you want except for this one tree. This one tree, you are forbidden to eat of it. And some of you remember the story well, that Eve comes along and the serpent is there being cunning, being crafty, and he lies to Eve and he feeds her full of lies, if you will, and tells her, oh, that's not what God said, and she adds to the word of God and so on and so forth, and she takes and eats of this fruit that she was forbidden to eat from, and Adam is there with her, and he takes a bite as well. And at that moment, Sin entered the world because sin is rebellion against God. And at that moment, if you were to read Genesis 3, sin enters the world, death is introduced because they died to this relationship with God. They had had a relationship with God. They had walked with God through the garden, because the scripture says after they eat, they go and hide themselves, and God comes down and he walks, it says, in the cool part of the day. And if you look at language, it really says the spiritual part of the day. And God's walking through and he's looking around, and God knew where they were, and he calls out to them, and he has them acknowledge that they have been hiding. I think God's pretty good at hide and seek. He knew where they were. Okay? But then why does he call out for them? Because he wants them to acknowledge that they have sinned. They have done wrong. They come and confess. And if you remember, they took fig leaves and tried to cover themselves. And then God ends up clothing them with animal fur, with clothing. What happens is that God took and slaughtered and offered it on behalf of their sin, because the blood covers. And we're going to look at that in a moment. And this sin enters the world. They are forbidden from the garden. The created order is disrupted. And as we see, it just progresses and progresses, and sin continues on. And we get to the days of Noah, where everybody is wicked, and God wipes them all except for this one family off the face of the earth. But still, they have a sin nature, and that sin nature is passed down. And so now you and I live in a sin-sick, broken world, a world full of cancer, a world full of diseases, a world full of mean, terrible, hateful people that have turned and rebelled against God. You and I live in a world of natural catastrophes that happen day after day after day all over the world. We live in a broken world, and folks, it goes back to the early days when Adam sinned. Adam and Eve sinned against God, and it broke God's created order, his design. The Bible tells us this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and look, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So when Adam sinned, the Bible says, in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now in that moment, he did not die physically, but what happened? He died spiritually. Because sin entered the world, he could not be in the presence of a holy God. So God had to sacrifice so that their relationship could be restored. But what took place is that the Bible teaches us that through the seed of man, there is a sin nature that is passed down. Okay? I know it's really hard for you to believe this, but just pretend, because you all have perfect kids. But pastors' kids, they're not perfect, okay? But I didn't have to sit down and teach any one of my kids, go, okay, Isaac, here's how you tell a lie. Here's how you do what I told you not to do, okay? My daughter happened to pick up on this pretty early, okay? I remember one day she was about, I don't know, between a year and 18 months, and she, obviously being firstborn, only child in the home, And she had been told not to do something, not to touch something. I forget exactly what it was. But we are in the other room, and you hear the ominous crash, right? And you don't even have to go in there. You know what's happened, okay? And so go in there, and my daughter's in there. She's not overly verbal at this point. She's verbal. It's just not words, okay? She did plenty of talking, but... still does, bless her heart. And so walk in and ask her, Katie Beth, did you do that? What did she do? Baby, you're the only one in the room. Unless Jesus manifests himself again, it's you. And boy, she'd deny. Of course, she got in trouble. Why? We don't have to teach our kids that. Let's pretend your kids were that way too. We don't have to teach your kids that, okay? And they just come by. They honestly, why? Because there is a sin nature that is passed down. And yes, men, it is passed down. The Bible teaches through our sin, through the seed of man. Now, congratulations, all of you ladies. You have the sin nature as well. I know it's hard, again, to believe. Good job, men. Way not to amen. That was not a place to go amen, all right? You did well there, all right? But we all have a sin nature that is passed down. And so we have this broken world that we live in. with broken people because we all have the propensity, the leaning, we are going to sin. And so, he came because the world is broken. Number two, he came because the law is insufficient. He came because the law is insufficient. So you remember that as God works and God does and he wiped and Noah and the family came and there was this replenishment of the earth and God set aside his people and then he gives. Well, the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments, along with other laws, many other laws and things that were to govern the people and their worship and their behavior. But friends, it was not enough. It was insufficient to have all of these laws to keep them that the people in the Old Testament could not keep them. And let's be honest and let's be clear that you and I could not keep them either. Jesus made this clear for us. Shall not bear false witness. Remember, we're really little. Even if you're honest Abe now, earliest of ages, we told lies. We broke the law. Some people try to justify it, said, well, I haven't killed anybody. Jesus said in the Bible that if you anger after somebody without a cause, it's as if you've committed murder. I haven't committed adultery. The Bible says, Jesus said that if you lust after someone who's not your wife, you've committed adultery in your heart. If we walk through, the reality is most of the ten, if not all of them, we've broken in some form or fashion because the law is insufficient. You and I were never able to keep the law. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews is one of my favorite books. The entire theme of Hebrews is Jesus is greater. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than the law and so on and so forth. It's so good. But Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1, for the law having a shadow, that is a picture, representation of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those who approach perfect. So let me hit pause. I'll come back to that. Remember that here were all these lists of do's and don'ts they were supposed to keep. And then next to it was a list of different feasts and different sacrifices they were supposed to make. One of those was called the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. And so they would take a sacrifice and they would go to the temple and on behalf of the family or the individual, whatever it was, they would go and offer a blood sacrifice to try to atone for the sins of the people from the previous year. And they had to do it every year. It was never intended to do what Jesus does in our life, but rather the Bible says here it's a shadow. The shadow's a representation. There's a shadow here. The shadow represents, it gives a picture of there's something better, there's something greater. The shadow is not the thing itself. That was the law. The law was just a shadow of reminding us of how imperfect we are, how perfect God is, and our need for a sacrifice that sufficiently redeems us so we don't have to every year go about the sacrifice. Every so often, we don't have to continue to have a sacrifice. Jesus was sufficient. And so he came because the law is insufficient. And then we'll pick back up in our Hebrews passage here in verse 2. For then they would not have ceased to be offered. For the worshipers, once purified, would have no more consequences of sin. If this is talking about if the law and the sacrifice were enough. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. Every year. Then this last phrase, this is important. Mark underline this verse. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. It wasn't enough. It was never designed to be enough. It was designed to be a reminder that God is holy and you're having to do this every year because you sin and that this is not sufficient. There is a greater sacrifice coming from the Old Testament saints looking forward. We know that a greater sacrifice came. Jesus. And as a reminder of James 2:10, we talked about this a moment ago, forever shall keep the whole wall and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. I used this illustration recently with some of our coaches talking to them about that if I were to rappel off a cliff down Mount Nebo or whatever it is, and I'm holding on by the rope that off the side of the mountain, it does not matter if you cut that rope right above my hands, or you cut it at the top, or you cut it 10 or 12 times, you cut it at one point, I fall, I stumble. And that's the picture here. James is holding it up saying, look, even if you were good enough to live your entire life and just tell one lie in 80 years of your life, then guess what? You still broke the law. And if you broke the law at one point, you've broken the law and the whole thing. And this is why the law is insufficient. Friends, this is why religion is insufficient. You can't join enough churches. You can't be baptized enough. You can't read your Bible enough. There is nothing, absolutely nothing that you and I can do that will make us good enough, because the reality is we have all sinned. And so number three, he came because we need him. We need him. A, we need him because we are sinners. Not a person in this room, not a person watching online. Every one of us from the age we can understand the difference between right and wrong, the age of accountability, how we refer to it. You and I are sinners. Now in our society, in our world, we try to categorize those sinners. We try to categorize those people, say, well, these aren't as bad as these or whatever the case is. But in the eyes of God, you and I are equal. We are all sinners. Romans 3:10 says, for it is written, there are none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Boy, right now, this weekend, open up muzzleloader season, but archery season has been open for a while now, and I've been trying to shoot my bow a little bit to build up the muscles and memory, all that kind of thing. I've got a target set up in the back, and of course, the target is bigger than the bullseye, okay? And as I'm standing there 20 or 30 yards away shooting my bow, the goal, the purpose is to shoot a bullseye. I have a spot I'm aimed at, and that's where I want to hit. And at times, I maybe get close, or I get really close, or maybe I get lucky and accidentally put one dead center. But if you and I were to shoot a bow, and I was to shoot my bow and completely miss the target, and yes, I did that the other day. It's buried in the tree behind it. I didn't tell Dalray that yet. He'll make fun of me next week. But and then you step up, and you shoot the bow, and you go, man, I only missed the bullseye by about an inch. Guess what? Guess who missed it? Both of us. And that's the picture that the language that's here in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have missed the mark. And whether you miss the mark way over here, you miss the mark right, you know, just barely on the edge, either way, we miss the mark. He came because we are sinners. And B, we need him because we have no hope. We have no hope. Look at Hebrews 9:22. Hebrews 9:22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And notice this, mark or underline this phrase, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. Friends, you need to hear this. The only forgiveness, only atonement for your sin is blood. And the only sufficient atonement is innocent blood. That's it. I cannot die and atone for my own sins because I am not innocent. Only an innocent sacrifice can stand in my place to bear my own guilt, to bear my own shame, The same is true for you. You can't atone for somebody else's sins because you're guilty. You can't atone for your own sins because you're guilty. We are all guilty before a holy and righteous God. Chapter over in Hebrews 10 again. Hebrews 10 verse 8. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings of sin you do not desire. Why? Because they don't atone for the sin. He's quoting the Old Testament. Nor have pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, this is talking about Jesus. I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that is the law and the sacrifice, the old covenant, and he may establish the second, that is the New Testament, his sacrifice. By that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's the beauty of his coming. You and I standing guilty. You and I standing before the judge, declared guilty, and we have no hope. There's nothing except Jesus. And so Jesus is the one who steps in. Jesus is the sacrifice. He is what we call the substitutionary atonement. That is, he is your substitute. He stood in your place to offer once for all. So number four, he came as God and man. He came as both God and man. So let's break this out into two parts. He is fully God. There's religion out there that will tell you, the Muslims will tell you that Jesus was a true person that lived. He was a prophet. He was a good person, but he was not the Son of God. They will even try to convince you that he did not claim to be God. And that is absolutely wrong. That is false. Jesus clearly, many times over and over, there are fun sermon series to preach through the book of John is the I am statement. He said over and over, I am, referencing back to when Moses was there before God at the burning bush, and Moses asked him, said, God, they'll never believe me. He says, tell them I sent you. He said, who shall I tell them who sent me? And he said, tell them I am that I am sent you. And there's no object to the I am. And he just is. And so Jesus, time and again, the religious leaders, as he's around them, he declares, I am. Now, sometimes in your English translation, we put an italicized word talking about he is the truth or he is this or whatever. But the reality is Jesus simply said, I am. And if you don't believe that's sufficient enough, read the context. The religious leaders would reach down and pick up rocks wanting to stone him. Why? Because that was the penalty for blasphemy. Jesus stood before the religious leaders of his day and declared time and time and time again, and he said, I am. So Jesus vehemently declared he is God. And we see it fulfilled in the scripture. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And in this particular section, every time you see Word, if it's capitalized in your Bible, it's a personification of that. And so you can write Jesus. So in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. That's the idea. John is writing about Jesus. So Jesus was God very clearly. The Jehovah's Witness tried to undermine this when they wrote their copy, they tried to copy part of the copy of scriptures they put together. And a guy tried to insert a God. That's not at all what the scripture says there. There is a definitive article here that says Jesus was the God. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, that is key and important, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And then if you skip down a couple verses to verse 22, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet saying, notice this, behold, the virgin shall be with child, bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. He came as fully God. Now, he limited himself of some of his divine attributes, one in particular, everywhere all at one time. Jesus put on a flesh suit. We're going to see that in a moment. He limited himself, but even while Jesus was here, he is, he was, he will always be fully God. Don't make any mistake about that. Anything less would have been insufficient. Anything less, any other option, they would not have been able to die and atone for our sins once for all the way that Jesus did. So God loved us in such a way that he sent his son Jesus, but he sent himself. And so not only was he fully God, B, he was fully man. That same passage from John 1:1, if you were to skip down to John 1:14, you read this verse, and the Word, that is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt, that is, lived among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here it is that God sends himself, sends his son Jesus, and he comes, and he's born of a virgin. The importance of that is if Jesus would have had an earthly father, had Joseph been his earthly father, he would have had the sin nature that you and I carry. And he would not have been an innocent sacrifice. He would have had to die on the cross and atone for his own sins. But because he was fully God and yet born of a virgin, he did not carry the sin nature that you and I, he was not passed on to him, but rather he was conceived of the Holy Spirit within Mary the Virgin. Then he was born being fully God and putting on this flesh suit fully man. And we see this talked about in Philippians 2. We studied this not long ago, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery look to be equal with God. Not only did Jesus claim that he was God, the Old Testament prophesied Emmanuel, God with us, saying that he would be God, and now the New Testament is saying Jesus was God. But made himself of no reputation, look, taking on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So, you and I live in a broken world. Not only is the created order broken, but you and I are broken and we have sin. And we have broken relationships. We have broken marriages. We have broken churches. We have all sort of brokenness that is around our life. And it's a result of sin. Sometimes our own sin, sometimes just the sin of the world. We have no hope without Christ. The law is insufficient. It's not enough to provide salvation, to care for us. But God's answer, God's remedy, God's perfect sacrifice, when he looked down on a sin-sick, broken world, eternity past from eternity future, he looks down and he sends his most precious gift that he has. He sends himself, his son Jesus, in the form of a man to live the sinless, perfect life and die on the cross for me and for you. And they buried him in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later, he got up out of the grave, conquering death, hell, and the grave. He walked among his peers for a few days, and then he ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he sits now seated on his throne. And one day, he's going to come back and he's going to take the bride of Christ with him. All who believe in him, all who have trusted in him. Dear friend, he came. Why? Because Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Every sin, everything that you and I are guilty of, the wages of that, the penalty of that is death. But do not leave this place under the burden of guilt without looking unto Jesus, because the verse does not stop there. It says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Every person here this morning, online or in person, we have some things in common. We're all sinners. Every single one of us. We're all guilty. We all have no hope apart from Christ. But Jesus came. And He's done it so that you and I could have salvation. Free. Two parts that the Scripture teaches required to accept that salvation: repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 20:21. This morning, you say, Brother Chris, I feel the weight of my sin. I am guilty before God. The Bible says if you will repent from your sin, that is, I'm walking in a sinful way against what God has for me. This morning, I'm turning to God, naturally turning my back on my sin. That is repentance. It is to turn. Yes, God, I'm guilty. I don't want to live that way anymore. God, I'm turning toward You, and then I'm placing my faith and trust in You, Lord Jesus. I want You to be my boss, my master, my Lord, my everything. And recognizing that Jesus came for you. Dear friend, my hope and my heart's prayer this morning is that you, if you've never surrendered your heart to Jesus, if you've never turned from your sin and placed your faith and trust in Christ, why not today? For God so loved the world. Insert your name there. It's not limited to just you, but for God so loved that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, that if you believe in Him, you will not perish but have everlasting life. Won't you believe today? Trust Christ today. I don't care how long you've been a church member. I don't care how long you've attended church. I don't care how many times you've read the Bible, how many times you got wet. If the Spirit of God is convicting you today, you need that. My goodness, please don't let pride get in the way. Don't let what others may think about you get in the way. Eternity is too long to be wrong about your salvation. The stakes are too high. The risks are too great. Here in just a moment, not yet, we're going to bow our head and close our eyes. I'm going to pray and I'm going to lead in what we call a sinner's prayer. But please understand, the Bible says man looks upon outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. If your greatest, your heart's desire is, preacher, I need to be saved this morning, you pray right where you're at. You can even pray right now, God, save me, forgive me of my sin. I turn from that. I turn to You. I want to live for You. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says if you'll do that, He'll save you. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, thank You for Your love and affection. Thank You for Your goodness and grace. And God, I pray even now, God, in spite of my failures and my stumbling, God, that anybody here that does not know You, God, I pray that the Spirit of God would convict them, draw them. God, give them grace to call out on You right now in this moment for salvation. And if that's you this morning, if that's your heart's desire, pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart, wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for saving me. With head bowed and eyes closed and nobody else looking around, if you prayed that this morning and you say, Pastor, I prayed and I meant it with all my heart, would you just slip your hand up in the air and say, Brother Chris, I prayed and asked God to save me. Amen. Anybody else, say, Brother Chris, I prayed and asked God to save me. I meant it with all my heart this morning. You may say this morning, Brother Chris, I know that I'm a believer. I follow Jesus. There may be some friends or family heavy on your heart. We're going to have a few moments that this front is open for you. If you want to come and pray for them, pray that God will save them. Pray that God will give you wisdom to help you know how to share the gospel with them. If that's you, if you want to spend a moment and pray, you have some other things you want to pray about, you come now. You can come kneel at this front. You can kneel right where you're at and pray for friends and family. You take a moment and pray for those that God has laid on your heart. Ask God to give you boldness to share the gospel. God to give you a desire to want to learn how to do it.
Standing on this mountain top, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful. Thank you.
thankful that God was faithful not to leave us on our own. And he sent his one and only son, Jesus, here to be Emmanuel, God with us, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Sing with us as we sing Jesus, Messiah.
Thanks for being here. Pray that you have a great week. We will. I have our ushers go ahead and move to be here at the exits. As you depart, there's an offering plate there. Those of you who'd love to be able to give. If you prefer to give online, you certainly can do that as well. Your giving, we give because God gave His Son. And it's just a furtherance of that worship and honoring what He has done for us. Because you give, we're able to have events like Trunk or Treat that's coming up this week. Remember, we'll have a meeting next week right after service for that. Also tonight, 5 o'clock business meeting. If you're a church member, sure appreciate if you could be here. We're going to start with that at 5 o'clock. And if you can hang around and go with us, great. If you're not able to, if you need to leave after that, that's certainly okay. But if you can, be here at 5 o'clock so we can take care of a few of those items for business. Hey, if you're guests, thank you so much for being here. I hope you'll fill out a Connect card either there in the pew back in front or online. We'd love to get to know you. Also, there are the bracelets. We get those out there. Jonathan's quick. You never know where he's at. So I think so. On that table, there's some of the King's Witness bracelets that are out there, will be out there. You can pick one of those up. And then don't miss the next few weeks. I think this will hopefully be a good tool for you to learn, be able to share your faith. And I see him running down the hallway. Don't tell anybody. And he's grabbing those and putting them out there. All right. So let me pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, you are gracious and kind and merciful. We thank you for today. We thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you, Jesus, came to offer the perfect sacrifice for us. I pray we continue to have a heart and a desire to learn, to share our faith, be bold with our witness, and God, you be glorified in us and through us. Help us to give in a way that honors you. Thank you for the privilege to do that. I pray you take it, bless it, use it for your glory and your name's sake. Lord, we love and praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.